You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Greetings to all my little quarantine goats out there. It's your host, Lurk, and thanks for checking out this episode of the Van Flip Podcast. If this is your first time checking out the podcast, well, hey, hello to you. We appreciate you stopping by. If you've been here before, welcome back. We greatly appreciate your return visit. There are a few ways you can help support the Van Flip Podcast, and one of them is if you're listening to us on a platform that you can give us a rating, just go ahead and give us a 5-star thumbs up or whatever the highest thing is that you can. It definitely helps us out in the algorithm of the podcast world. We here at the podcast started a Twitter account to better interact with you all directly. So go follow us at Van Flip Podcast. Tweet us what you think of the show or who our next guest should be. If you prefer to watch the podcast episodes instead of listening to them, all of our episodes are available on the Lamb Goat YouTube channel. So go ahead and head over there to subscribe and hit the bell to make sure you're notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to check out lambgoat.com to stay up to date on news, releases, and announcements from around the hardcore, metal, and heavy music world. Follow Lamb Goat on social media, give us a like on Facebook, and follow Lamb Goat on both Twitter and Instagram at Lamb Goat. And as always, I'd like to thank our Patreon supporters, Dylan and Lachlan. Thanks for your continued support. We greatly appreciate it. If you yourself would like to become a Patreon supporter, not only do you help improve and grow the show, but you get early access to the episodes. You also get access to the live concerts before they are released. You also get an invite to the private Discord chat, Lamb Goat swag, and other bonus content. We will even shout you out on the show for as long as you are a supporter. Visit patreon.com/thevanflip for more info. Now that all that is done, let's kick it over to the episode. This week we sat down with Sean and Mitch from the band Variables.
Oh yeah, what's this? I feel this. Oh yeah, this is stuff. Oh no, what's this? Oh no, no, no!
Lamb Goat presents the Van Flip Podcast.
All right, guys, back on this episode of the podcast. We are not on my living room couch, unfortunately. It'd be way more comfortable for us, guys. But I'm sitting here with Mitch and Adam from the band Variables.
Ooh.
No!
Adam from Orthodox.
Yes, we just did that one. Sorry. Mitch and Sean.
Yeah. It's all good.
Sorry, Adam.
Oops. No, Adam. No. Sorry, Sean. Not Adam. You know, it wouldn't be a podcast if it wasn't fucked up in the beginning.
100%.
100%.
Yeah.
Especially by me.
Yeah, I can't wait till Adam.
Just do that thing that Joe Rogan does where you, like, fade it in when it's, like, talking, and, like, it's just like, hey, Adam.
We've kind of done the intro already. Just forward.
Yeah.
Or you can bring it back to you if you want to sit back.
Oh, you got this fucking boom arm, bro.
Yeah, you got the technology.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go.
There you go. Look at you.
It's comfortable.
You'll have to lean forward, Mitch. Just sorry.
That's all good,
not,
bro.
Not any more than
oh,
that
word,
already.
Word,
yeah,
word.
Yeah. Just saying, you're going to have to be uncomfortable
right.
for a while.
We'll figure it out.
So you guys are from Pennsylvania. You guys have been doing this gig for a number of years, almost 10, right? Like 8 or 9?
Nah, it's been more like probably 5 now.
2014? Is it 2014 or 2015?
So I graduated high school in 2013. Went to Young college butt. With James. The first day after college, I looked at James and I said, yo, fuck this. Let's try making another band. And now we're here.
You were in a band previously?
Me and James were just in, like, shitty bands when we were kids. And then started Variables. And then I just met a bunch of people. And then throughout the years, we ended up here. So.
Rocking and rolling.
Yeah, still doing it. Still kicking.
That's cool. You guys are currently on tour with the band we just had on the podcast, but... Orthodox with Adam and
the real Adam,
the real man.
Spite, you guys, I am.
Yep.
Dealer and
Unity was on like the
Unity.
First,
yeah, they just dropped off
like a week or so.
I'm missing one.
Yeah.
Orthodox. Nope.
No, you got them all. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Okay. Cool. So how's that been going? For the you're in somewhat in the middle of it, right? Or
we're like, I think we're like 8 or 9 shows in, I think.
Fuck.
Yeah, and it's like,
it's going by so fast.
Yeah, it's been really, really sick. Like,
but it's like really sick.
Yeah.
So Unity was only on for like the first week?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah,
I figured they were on the first half or something. They
Houston was their last show.
Yeah, because like I Am was just in Europe with Die Hard is Murder, and like they couldn't do the first like little bit of the tour because they were coming back. So Unity did the first little bit, and now I Am's like on the rest of it.
You also hit it too now. Yep, so
there we go.
The only one, yeah. This is already the best podcast ever, audio wise.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's been very good. And mm-hmm. we have Matt from Boundaries filling in for us on this tour.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing Australia with him and then Europe with Polaris.
Yeah.
And he's going to be doing the vocals?
Yeah.
Yeah, for all this tours.
I'm trying to like beat around the bush, but I guess I won't. Is he going to be like your permanent fill-in, or are you going to have like are you going to search for a vocalist, or does he have other situations he's involved in too? I mean, obviously with
Trav left like 2 weeks for this tour, and then he was just like one of the first options I thought of, so I just hit him up and I was like, yo, can you like come on this tour with us, because we need somebody like right now. And he stepped up to the plate and he's killing it.
Yeah, he's doing a really good job.
Yeah.
Yeah. JP seems to think that relatively the same sounding, right? Was that similar
yeah,
sounding?
Yeah, they're pretty similar.
That's good. Sure. It's good for the audience, obviously, because it's not going to be such a big change.
We haven't even really, like, seen too much. Like, I thought it was going to be, like, a little weird, like, the first, like, bit of shows without Trav, but, like, everybody seems to be receiving Matt really, really well, so mm-hmm. the shows have still been, like, just as sick as usual, so I'm really happy about that.
Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. Sorry, Mitch.
Oh, good. No, that was done. You're good.
It's one of those things, like, anytime there's, like, a slight bit of lull in the talking, to me, just seems like, it could be, like, half a second, but it seems like 5 minutes to me, so it's always like, all right, let me think of something to say introductory-wise.
Yeah.
So, speaking of Travis, you guys wrote and recorded the whole record and everything like that, released the record, and then, you know, a couple months after, he decides to part ways with you guys and whatnot. Like, was that something you guys, in the process of, like, writing and recording, were kind of, like, already feeling that he wouldn't be around for much longer, or was it a shock kind of a situation?
I mean, we made In Darkness, and we all thought it was dope. It came out, and, I mean, like he said, like, touring and stuff kind of just wears down on him, so he just decided that he didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I saw it, like, coming really. Like, it definitely was a little bit of a surprise for sure.
Yeah
How did it, was it like a mad scramble to figure out what you guys were doing, or was it just like we instantly thought about just getting a new person to fill in?
Yeah, like we figured it out in like 3 or 4 days. Like, it was pretty quick.
Yeah, I was on the hunt for somebody, but I didn't want to just get anybody. And then you know, you have all those fucking weirdos hitting you up like, let me sing in your, like, no dude.
I do my demos, bro. Yeah, I remember when Misery Signals switched singers and whatnot, and they were looking for a singer like on the internet.
Yeah
that,
I didn't want to go that route at all.
Not the journey route.
Yeah,
you want to find a Filipino guy to front your band.
Nah, like, yeah, I wasn't trying to do that.
How long had the record been out prior to him leaving?
It came out in October, so like November, December, like 3 months, basically.
And were you guys playing shows between that time period, or
we did that tour with Counterparts mm-hmm. and like Chamber and shit right before he left, like in November. So yeah, it was like that one tour we did. Like, the album came out on the tour, and that was the last one he did with us. Did a couple shows.
No, the album came out when we were in Japan.
Oh no, it did.
Did it?
No, the three songs came out.
Three songs came out. We were
then
in Japan.
Okay, no, sorry. The album came out like the week before that tour or something like that. So yeah.
And this is an interesting time to have parted ways with you guys after a release. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
and I understand, because obviously, and a lot of people that are listening or watching this, they may think that being in a band is like the fucking coolest thing of all time, and touring is like fun, which it is fun.
Yeah,
there are parts of it's fun, but it's rough.
Sometimes. It's like a rough lifestyle.
Yeah. Like, we're 8 or 9 days in or whatever, and like, I'm fucking beat.
Y'all have like 6 more weeks or some shit. Yeah, yeah, I got a long one this time around.
Yeah, I fell down the slippery slope of needing a Red Bull before every set.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, fuck, man.
Oh, man, here we go again.
And then it's shotgun the Red Bull, and then I'm like, boom. Straight from the Path always does that. They, like, shotgun a Red Bull before they play. And I was like, you know what? I'll just chug one real quick.
Well, they're very active on the stage, too. Oh, yeah. So, yeah, you know.
I was doing lights for them when we were on tour with them in Counterparts, and I started doing the Red Bull chug with them, and I would just be back there like,
yes, like, yes, yes.
I love doing that shit.
It's an EDM show now.
Literally, yeah.
That's good shit. It's fun that they are bringing more things like lights, or I don't want to say light shows per se, but they're doing more with visuals for bands like you guys and the scene type bands.
We have a light guy on this tour, and like when we play, like usually I fucking hate strobe lights, but this tour they're like on beat with what I'm doing. I'm like, yeah, this is kind of sick.
Yeah,
like, you hate strobe lights just like looking at them, or yeah, you just, with strobe lights like
just
on you?
Like looking at strobe lights, like it makes my head go crazy. But like for some reason, like when the show's dope and they're going and it's on time and not just some dude back there, like
yeah, we'd always just have like the house like guy just like flashing strobes at all the wrong times, and Sean would be like, oh fuck, like
epileptic seizure.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah.
No, yeah, as a person in the audience, strobe lights, I always think are cool, but I don't have a problem with them. Yeah.
Yeah.
They don't fuck me up, but I can see why they would definitely fuck somebody up. Especially when you're playing drums, because your hands are moving at like half the speed that they do when you normally look at them.
Yeah. Like, oh, yeah, you wouldn't be able to see like when you're hitting.
Yeah, like, yeah, exactly.
I was like fucking scared of those things when I was a kid. I remember like I tried going to like a school dance in like middle school, and there were strobe lights, and I was like, I was like, Mom, come pick me up.
I don't know what's going on.
And now I'm like 25 years old, and we're playing shows, and there they are. I'm like, oh, they're coming back.
Come back to haunt you, bro.
Yeah, right. So yeah, it was tough for him on the road, and then you guys kind of parted ways, and now you're rocking with the new fill-in guy.
Yeah.
How much do you think it might affect you guys going forward as far as like a band? Have you guys thought that far, or are you just like playing it out by ear right now?
I mean, we kind of have like a rough idea of what we're gonna do, because like we do already have most of our year like planned out, like touring wise, and what. Depending on, like, whatever happens after the Europe tour, like, whoever we get, I feel like we're trying to get somebody by the summer so we can try and make some new music just, like, fast.
Like full-time person?
Yeah, yeah, like full-time person. Because, like, it's definitely a little weird having, like, that album, like, just out, and now we have to find somebody new. So I feel like the best thing we can do is just try and get something out, like, quick that's still, like, quality and, like, good with a new person, so we can try and, like, launch off of that instead of, like, having to ride in darkness for, like, you know, a 2-year fucking album cycle. So
is that normally what your cycles are, like, a year or two?
Yeah, like, In Darkness actually came out over a year after Pain Again did. Like, we put out Pain Again in, like, August of 2017, and then In Darkness didn't come out until October of 2019, so it was, like, a two-year and two-month album cycle, mm-hmm. So... yeah.
Well, all the best. I know, because it's all like, it is taxing, very taxing to be, you know, on the road nonstop. Do you guys like crash on couches, crash in the van, get a hotel room, Airbnb?
Crash everywhere.
Yeah.
August Burns Red used to like pull over. Is it August Burns Red or is it Parkway Drive? One of them used to pull over and just camp, you know?
I think that was the Parkway Drive. I remember seeing that.
Yeah, they used to pull over and camp
that
on the road.
Documentary or whatever.
Yeah.
We'll hit Walmart sometimes. We'll get hotels sometimes, we'll get Airbnbs, we'll stay at people's houses, like, literally, whatever the best and most appropriate option is whatever the fuck we're doing, so.
Yeah. You're kind of slumming it on the road a little bit, but it's also part of the experience.
So 100%. I love sleeping in the van, fuck it, it's hilarious.
That was
I'm
not
25 years old
things.
And I sleep in a fucking white van in a Walmart parking lot, like, are you kidding me?
You guys are living the van dweller life without being, like, van dwellers,
I love
you know?
It.
I understand why, like, older bands need bandwagons and shit like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When I'm 30, maybe not, because, like, that bench is going to fucking hurt my back.
Your back,
but,
yeah.
Now, I'll keep the money and sleep in the damn van. Shit rips.
Yeah.
Yeah, is it more of a financially conscious decision as to why you guys are sleeping like that?
Or? Yeah, for sure.
Those bandwagons are expensive, man.
Dude, yeah.
I'm like, holy shit, how do you afford that?
Straight up, there's no
way.
I'd
rather have that money than to go home and, like, go to the bar.
Yeah, exactly.
I can feel that. So, like, not straight edge, like, we've had... It's weird.
Our fill-in straight edge.
Yeah, our fill-in is, but the rest of us are not.
I think, I think Adam said that, or yeah,
our photographer's also straight edge, that he's been dealing with us for years.
Yeah, we're not that bad.
You're not obnoxious.
I feel like if there's like usually like 3 or 4 days a tour where we're like, we're gonna fucking get wild, like, that's and then but that's yeah. it. But every other day, I feel like, you know, we're all just casually drinking and doing
whenever
whatever. We're fine.
Party time.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus Christ.
I mean,
we have a select group of friends down there that we have.
Yeah.
Down here.
Down
mm-hmm.
here.
Down here. Down here.
We'll blow Jacksonville, like Tampa.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we're in South Georgia right now. I understand that. Yeah, I get you. No, yeah, man. Picking and choosing when you have, like, your days for partying is fucking dope.
I actually took, like, a month off from drinking, and, like, last night was the first night I drank in, like, weeks. And being on tour before then, it's honestly, like, way better being sober on tour.
Probably. There's a lot, because you're...
I felt so much better.
Moving around.
I was with my friends last night. I was like, all right, like, I'll do one. But
one led into what, a couple?
No, I was like, I'll have one party night. You know?
Oh, one party night, not just one drink. Yeah. I gave it up for a year.
Really?
Yeah, it was rough. Not rough. It was rough in the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of was just like, yeah, fuck it. And then I just stopped. And at first it was weird. And then, like, a few weeks went by and I just, like, started feeling, I don't really need it as much as I thought I did before.
So. Yeah, that was one of the things that I was very nervous about giving it up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just because I was like, what the fuck am I going to do when I go out?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like, you're like, what are you going to, like, in social interactions like that, it's like, you were always like, yeah, I'm going to get fucking drunk, you know, have all my friends.
You got that social lubrication.
But now it's, yeah, it's like, after I, like, got past that, like, first, like, 2 weeks or so, and like I was around my friends and being on tour and they're all drinking, I'm like, oh, I can still hang out and be sober and not have a headache tomorrow.
Yeah. But I will say this. If you give it up for an extended period of time, just like you give up anything, your tolerance goes to shit.
Yeah.
And so, like, when I started kicking it back up,
I had one,
like,
gin and tonic last night, and I was like, yo.
I'd have four.
It's like high school over again.
I'd have, like, 3 or 4 tall boy PBRs or some shit, and then, like, my morning would be fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was like, I wasn't even drunk, you know what I mean? But it just fucking wears on you.
We've just been drinking White Claw because, A, we're pussy, and, B, because it doesn't give me a hangover.
Yeah, obviously, you're drinking malt liquor water, so you're staying hydrated. It's
fucking great.
It's honestly the craziest thing to me is White Claw.
Dude,
seltzer water
it,
alcohol.
Man.
You ever
Everyone's
see that coming?
No.
No, because I definitely,
I definitely didn't, but I love it.
It is malt liquor they use for that
stuff. Yeah, so it's probably even worse for you than whatever.
Oh, 100%. Because, like, it's illegal for them to, like, mix hard liquor and, like, soda in a fucking can, right?
Well, because it's like children want it.
Yeah, basically.
I mean, it's more enticing, but...
They sell that shit in, like, other countries, though. Like, I've seen in, like, liquor stores in Australia and shit, they have, like, literally, like, Jack Daniel's brand Jack and Coke in a can in a liquor store. And it's like...
I've seen those here.
Really?
Yeah.
There's a couple, like, weird branded things. I think Coke was...
Maybe they can get away with it because it's malt liquor instead of alcohol.
Go to Japan and get some strong.
Yeah.
I was warned about those, and then I had one. I was like, dude, it ain't that bad, dude.
What is it? What is it?
What the hell even
It's is? Basically like a Japanese Four Loko, but it's like not as bad. Yeah. Like, it's you can get it at like literally any 7-Eleven. You just walk in, they have a whole fucking refrigerator case like full of alcoholic drinks. And there's like the strong is like the specific one we kept drinking, and like it just kind of tasted like it was vodka plus like horrible soda in a can. But like, I don't understand it because you drink like one of them and you're fucking done. Yeah. Like, you're literally fucked. I drank one the day that we got there, and the next morning, we were, like, rolling around this area called Harajuku, and I was, like, I had a bag with me, and I was just vomiting the whole time we were there into a bag.
Yeah,
I
literally
so
thought
fucked.
He was going to die in Japan. We were, like, outside of this, like, cookie shop, and he was, like, throwing up all day, and he was just leaning on this fucking table out front. And was, like, shaking. I was like, dude.
It was bad. It was, like, a mixture of, like, hangover, I think weird food, and jet lag. All hitting me at the same fucking time.
How long were you guys in Japan for?
Like, 10 days,
Is that long enough to get, like, accustomed to that schedule and shit?
I think so, yeah. I mean, like, we were kind of fucked, like, the whole time just because, like, the shows and shit were going late. So, like, we were still, like, out until fucking, like... sometimes like 3 or 4 a.m. But like,
yeah,
I felt after like a day or two, I was like totally fine. Like,
did you guys come from the States or were you somewhere else?
We came from the States. Yeah.
Like, that's a fucking
long flight. It
was cool
being able to be in Japan. We played shows at Jesus Peace.
Yeah.
And like, I've been friends with Aaron since I was like 16. So like,
that's
me
cool.
and him being over there together, we put our bands at like in 2019 it was. Yeah. I was like, dude, this is wild.
Wild, yeah. See, that kind of stuff, and again, I'm not saying anything negative about anything or anyone, but that kind of stuff makes it worth it, like being on tour. You know what I mean? Like, I get that, like, being on tour in the States, if you're from the States, is way more taxing. Because it's like, you know what I mean? It's like...
Yeah, but as soon as you, like, when you, like, the plane ride to Japan sucked, but you get out of the plane, and you're like, holy
it's a different
shit.
Fucking planet out
like,
there,
why am I looking at this because I play breakdowns? So this doesn't make any sense. Like,
all because you play breakdowns, you get to see cool shit like that. It's like, what the hell?
And I'm, and weirdly enough, in the last, like, 20 years or so, you know, that particular part of the world, like Japan, China, Southeast Asia, and all that shit, they're, like, super getting big into, like, hardcore and metal shit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, Japan is literally the best place, like, for heavy music. Like, in the States, you have... The one thing I noticed about being in Japan was, like, they don't really, like, have egos over there with, like, metalcore and hardcore. And, like Sand and Crystal Lake played at the same show.
Okay.
And they were all chilling with each other. I was like, over here, like, they'd be like, oh, that band's fucking stupid. Like, over there, they're like, it's just awesome. They all, they're happy with what they got, and all the bands kill it. All the sound guys are great. I didn't see one bad local band.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Every band there is amazing.
Really?
It's crazy.
There's a couple of bands that I've started to check out from there. Crystal Lake's one of them, obviously, recently, because they just came out with a record last year or something like that as well.
Yeah, band's nuts.
Defiled, too, is one. They just came out with a, they're like a death metal band.
Okay.
But I started listening to it, and I was like, hey, this is pretty good. And I checked it out, and they're like, they've been around since 92 or some shit.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, damn. But, yeah, that's, it's crazy that they're so into that style of music, you know what I mean? Because... When you think about Japan, you don't necessarily gravitate towards heavy music.
Nah, yeah, for sure. I feel like it's one of those things, too, where, like, I feel like when international bands, like, go to Japan, even kids that may not necessarily, like, fuck 100% with it will, like, just still go to the show because, like, they don't really get a lot of shows. Do you know what I mean?
Cause, it's like, foreign to them. It's like,
like, a lot of the kids that were at the show seemed like they were just there for, like, the experience of it. They're like, holy fucking shit, this is crazy. Like,
yeah.
So, it's definitely, like, a very interesting audience, you know what I mean? It's cool.
Yeah, it was a great time. We had Brendan from Counterpart singing for us in Japan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Nice.
So, it was, like, funny being there with him, and then Counterparts came right after, and then he did a whole Counterparts.
Yeah, story. He was there for, like, a month. Yeah. Straight up, yeah. Because he had, like, fucking, like, I think 7 days off between when we left and when Counterparts got there.
He just stayed there?
Yeah, he had, like, his girlfriend flew in. They just, like, chilled for a week, and it's like, damn, that's so sick.
All for breakdowns, bro.
Yeah, dude.
All through breakdowns. That's the crazy part about... Like, especially with, like, music, but, like, the internet, you know what I mean? How everything is so fucking accessible that people all the way over on the other side of the world, you know, are downloading your shit.
I was looking at Spotify the other day, like, that Spotify for Artists app, and, like...
Where you're, like, who's listening to what, where?
And there was, like, multiple cities in, like, Europe that were, like, in our top 10, and I was like, what the fuck? Like, that's so crazy, like, wild that you can actually tap into that now and see exactly where people really like you, you know what I mean?
Yeah. That was one of my big goals as when I was in the band, to fucking just get out of the States. I think if you get out of the States, you're doing quite well.
The other thing about, like, being in a band, like, before all this shit, like, I don't know how the hell people ever toured without a GPS.
Oh, we talk about this all the time.
MapQuest, dog.
Dude, yeah, like, printing out MapQuest. Fucking.
That's what we did. That was fucking atlases and MapQuest. To this day, though, I have no idea how we arrived at, like, some of the VFW halls. You know what I mean? Like, random-ass little venues and shit. Like...
How did you know, like, the time you were going to show up? Did it tell you on your MapQuest? Like, we've
never... No, dude, you were like, okay, 60 miles an hour for an hour is 60 miles. So, you know, like, you're like...
No, not even, like, a calculator on your phone. Like, you have a
fucking
calculator.
No, yeah, because your phone didn't have a calculator for the most part.
Oh, my God.
We are so fucking privileged. Jesus Christ.
I suck at math, so I would have been...
Dude, we would show up at, like, 7 p.m. to every show. Like, whoops.
So, yeah, we'd, like, well, if we're doing 80... Yeah, because no one knew exactly what the... We weren't, like, fucking college graduates from Harvard, nothing like that. We were, like, 80 miles an hour, I don't know, fucking... Your van's not going 80 either, but, you know, 10 hours? But still, finding the venue in a town that you've never been in, even though you have MapQuest and the Atlas, you're like, I don't fucking know, dude.
I remember a couple years ago, we toured with this dude, Hunter. He was, like, with Gideon, and he, like, told us about, like, touring, like, years ago, but said, like, a similar thing. Like, they would get into, like, the town where the venue was, but, like, he said this was even, like, before MapQuest, and they would literally have to, like, find a payphone, call the venue, get the address, mark it on the map, get directions from the venue and how to get there from where they were. Like, what? Like, imagine just rocking up in New York City and it's like, where do I go? Yeah. Like, what?
Yeah, all the one way, like, and then especially places like New York where, like, one way this way only and all that shit, and you're like,
yeah,
you have a band,
your GPS doesn't tell you that that's a one way.
Yeah. It's even, like, annoying now. I can't even imagine doing it without a smartphone. Like, Jesus.
Damn. Just think about before even all that, before, like, fucking MapQuest was fucking a real thing.
Dude, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, literally before impossible.
Napster.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I lived all that life. I'm a little older than you all, so I lived all that life. Yeah, traveling without a GPS. Just a sidekick, you know, the T-Mobile sidekick.
Oh, yeah. Best phone ever made.
It was cool because it was, like, the only... It was, like, one of the only phones you could IM.
Yep.
And you didn't have to use your text messages because you had a lot of amount of text messages back in the day.
I didn't have a phone until I was in 8th grade.
I didn't have a phone until I was, like, 18. So, fuck you.
I think I got a cell phone when I was, like... I was, like, in 6th grade, but it was, like, the most basic one you could buy because my parents were, like, you can only use this to call us if, like... You're getting kidnapped. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, here's a phone to, like, text your friends.
Yeah, the jitterbug where only, oh, yeah, you only had, like, one call that you could make if you were getting kidnapped. You
know, one of the jobs I had between touring, I worked at, like, a mechanic shop. And one of the mechanics was, like, came in and told me how he was all freaked out because, you know how you can do, like, find my friends on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
His, like, daughter's location when she was at school was saying she was, like, in the woods next to the school. And, like... the guy and his wife freaked out and were like scared shitless, but she was just like sitting in math class.
The phone's just like fucking up the GPS.
Like the Wi-Fi is fucking it up a little bit.
It's like some Black Mirror, like Archangel shit, just like tracking your kid.
Oh, it is crazy. It's like, because you can share with an iPhone, you can share your location with certain people, you know? So like I share my location with my significant other.
Yeah.
But it's always, you can always just like see where they're at. You know what I mean? So it's crazy.
Technology's wild.
It's crazy. So you do you do mechanic shit when you're back home?
Not really. I'm in the cars and like boats and like shit like that. But
Sean likes going fast.
I like to go fast.
I'm not a going fast kind of guy.
Yeah, my mom's gonna be pissed when I buy a motorcycle after this tour.
Just wear like a double helmet. You know? Yeah, that seems to be a big problem.
As long as you just don't die, just do whatever you want.
I'll be the Def Leppard drummer, one arm.
That'd be sick.
Yeah. It's hard to play. It's hard to play with one arm.
Pretty sure that's what happened. He was in a motorcycle wreck and he lost his arm.
Jesus.
I thought it was a bus crash.
Maybe.
Def Leppard.
I think it was a motorcycle.
It might be.
I don't know.
Yeah, Google it real quick. I know Metallica got in a bus crash. Def Leppard. I thought Def Leppard got in a bus crash.
How did Def Leppard guy lose his arm?
Oh man.
Siri knows all. Do you remember before Siri there was Cha Cha?
Yeah, I never used that shit.
That shit was hilarious. Shit.
He lost control of his Corvette Stingray and hit a brick wall. Nuts. He liked going fast.
Yeah, he was going fast, too.
He was going,
So, what kind of cars are you into? Like, fast cars, obviously, but, like, imports? American?
Yeah, like, imports and American.
Was being in Japan just like a fucking jerk off central?
Every kid showed up to the venue with a sick ass, like...
You got a Skyline? Bar.
Yeah, right.
Motorcycle, or, like... The Skyline, like, they're everywhere. It's, like, RX-7s everywhere. I was like, dude.
You drive all this right-handed, or,
Yeah, it was, like, right-side drive and everything.
My buddy Kyle had the guy out here, he had a right-side Del Sol up until recently, yeah.
I saw it, it was funny. I remember being, like, really drunk in Japan, and we took a taxi to a hotel, and, like, I was sitting on our driver's side. I was sitting on the left side of the car, and the driver was next to me, and... Over here in America, you can go right on red.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so drunk, and I'm sitting in this car, and he made a left on red. Freaked out. And I was like, "Yo, we're going to die." And I was like, wait, no, it works like that over here.
Flip the road, literally. Like.
I'm sure it's a little awkward to just be in that seat in general and not be driving.
Yeah, it was just funny.
It was like, especially like when we were going to the shows, like they had people that were driving us in a van basically everywhere. And like, sitting on the right side of the car and, like, sitting behind the driver, it was always just, like, it just felt weird. Like, I don't know how to explain it. Yeah. It was just, like, it being in, like, a car your whole life or on the left side and then it's switching, it just feels so unnatural. Like, it's weird.
It's crazy that we're, like, one of the only countries that does weird things like that.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Everybody else, like, on the fucking not the metric system.
Yeah.
I was listening military to that, time. What's the dude who made the Teslas and shit?
Elon Musk.
Yeah, his podcast at Joe Rogan.
Yeah, yeah.
About like the Teslas.
Pre or post him smoking weed, because once he smoked, it was like kind of off
game over.
I don't think it, yeah. Dude, but he said he has like an Easter egg in one of the Teslas where it can dance. Did you hear that?
Wait,
there's
what?
There's like an Easter egg that he was saying is in a Tesla where you can program so the car will literally start dancing.
Oh my god, I don't remember that.
When he says
that.
Dancing, does he just mean like doors opening and closing?
maybe it like goes back and forth, doors opening
and
shit.
Yeah, I think we had like a Tesla van SUV pick us up like an Uber one time. Yeah. And it was like, it was a nice one. I don't know why he was fucking doing Uber or anything, but
yeah.
He had like the big iPad Pro fucking screen, and it was like, we're driving on Mars. But he also, I think he had something like where it would dance.
Yeah,
it was, I think he like showed it to us because we were all fucking
Mike's
all
mom,
inebriated.
Our bass player, has like the like white Model S or whatever. And like when she first got it, I looked in the car and I literally thought it was an iPad. And then she's like, no, that's the dashboard of the car. I was like, oh,
yeah.
Like what?
Yeah. Technology is going to be crazy in the next couple of years.
And then they started talking about the AIs and shit.
Oh, my God.
Like self-driving cars?
It is scary.
No, like robots.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, well, yeah.
Like Terminator Judgment Day shit, literally.
Is that movie Ex Machina or whatever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dude, it's going to be like that, man.
Yeah, oh, yeah. They're going to you're gonna download your brain at some point.
I can't wait to have my, like, iRobot, like my little robot in my house that just does shit for me.
Would you rather have an iRobot or would you rather be implanted into a robot?
I would definitely rather be implanted into a robot so I could live forever. That'd be fucking sick.
I don't know if I would want to be around that long.
See, you say that now.
As long as I have the option to pull the plug. Like, if I'm eventually like, yo, fuck this, you know what I mean? Like, because I don't, like, being around for like a million years, I don't know about that, but like, at a couple hundred, I think that'd be cool.
The world's melting, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least you'll be able to fly to, like, Mars.
True. I transport my robot self to fucking
Jupiter. You may even just be able to fly to Mars without a spaceship.
Honestly, yeah. You teleport. Rocket Man.
Imagine if we could teleport on tour.
That's crazy.
It's like, yep, end of the night, put all the gear on the fucking thing, hit the coordinates, boop, venue.
Imagine if I was an AI playing drums, that'd be unstoppable.
Dude.
Yeah, there's a couple bands.
All deathcore drummers would be done for, man.
Dude, yeah, it's over.
No more triggers.
You just connect yourself to the drum kit.
No more triggers,
just, like,
just an AI.
It'd be like, it's like the Old Spice commercial with Terry Crews when he was flexing and shit, and just
all the shit's like popping out of him. It's so funny.
Dude, there would be some crazy blast beats if it was an AI.
That would take. What, have you guys seen the fucking the metal band that's all robots and with the?
Yeah, I was gonna say there's like a band that's all robots and it's like fucking stupid.
They like played Philly or like I can't remember where it was, but like a bunch of my friends like saw it a couple months ago and they took videos of it and like yes, it was impressive, but like. It looked like the funniest thing I have ever seen in my life. Like, it was bizarre.
I think I saw that on that Catatonic Youth Instagram at one point. That's a fucking great account.
Yeah.
I don't know where they get that content from, but fuck me.
That shit is funny. I really, really like that page.
Yeah, it's a good one. I stumbled upon it because of Chris from Poison the Well, I think, was telling me about it. And, of course, I see him now comment on every video that he posts, so it's hilarious.
They've been starting to post, like, metalcore shit, too, on there. Like, funny-ass, like, old videos of just, like, old bands playing shit, like, back in the day. It's just, like, insane, and it's like, wow.
Yeah.
I wonder who's running it.
I have no idea. Those Instagram accounts like that are always interesting. I wonder, I don't know how many followers he has now. I knew it was, like, a couple hundred thousand when I last looked, but probably getting paid for just posting that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Shit.
Somehow, right?
You got to make money somehow.
Straight
up. You guys ventured out in your, I don't know what you call it, income stream or whatever. You guys sell different styled merch than most bands. You guys like have, I don't want to say fanny packs, but you have bags.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually shared a meme the other day on our Facebook where it's like, some guy posted a status and was like, "Dear band, stop selling shirts. I have enough of those. Sell pants." And then your guys' pants were the ones I thought about when I read that.
Yeah,
I am has pants on the store.
Yeah.
Yep.
What are those things that John keeps trying to get us to Zoom?
Oh, yeah, Zumbins or like Zumbas? Zumbas? They're like these fucking
like 90s wrestling pants. Like, yeah. Crazy shit down
the my
they
God.
They look I want to do John's it so been bad. Like,
Do
so
this.
You should probably do that just because.
Nobody steal that idea before we do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my buddy Kyle out there, he is big into that shit. Yeah. He wants like the. He's a big Miami Dolphins fan, if you couldn't tell with the coloring. But. Yeah, he's getting, like, the Miami Dolphins Zumba pants from fucking, like, 1990 or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is what it is these days. I think you're allowed to be, not allowed, but you're able to be, like, more free with just how you think and how you dress and what music you listen to for the most part,
100%.
Too. To where, like, it's just your individuality.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dope stuff out there now.
Yeah. I think with the woke culture, so to speak, it, you know what I mean? It's that's one of the
people
positives.
People just want different shit, I feel like. I think it's cool, though. I like it.
Yeah, I like it, too.
I feel like bands have way more interesting merch now. Like, I have fucking... I have an I Am lighter at home. I love that lighter. It's like a nice-ass, like, Zippo lighter.
Okay.
Eric has an I Am knife. Yeah.
It's all about branding, you know what
Literally.
I mean?
Literally.
Left Behind just made those axes.
Dude, you ever see the fucking Left Behind slides? The Blessed by the Burn slides? Yeah, they're so sick.
No. That's crazy. Yeah, it's different, though, because you have different ways to get income for your band, you know, because again, like being on the road and playing music, you only get X amount, you know. Per...
I mean, people try to give us like shit sometimes for like being like a merch band, but it's like it's not. That's not like our. We just like fashion as well as being.
Oh
yeah,
so it's like it's just what we want to do.
Yeah,
like we're not trying to like go to any specific market and be like, this is what it's like. Nah, this is what actually looks good on people, so I'm sure they'll buy it.
Right.
Yeah.
It's also just good because, again, you only have a certain amount that you can make per show, per album, per, you know, fucking whatever. So having these other streams of revenue help you not have to do other jobs.
100%.
You know, like, help you be on the road longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some people just, I don't know. People want to make bad-looking shit, too, I guess.
I find that that's more often now because they, you know, just with the way that the culture is, a lot of, like, the 90s, even, like, the 90s computer graphic shit, you know, like, MS Paint-style fucking flyers or, like, merch and shit like that is big.
Yeah, 100%.
So that's cool. That's a little bit crazy to me because I come from a design background and hate all that shit. But it's all the rage, so.
I feel like that, like, weird, like, what you were just talking about, that weird, like, MS Paint, like, kind of, like, I don't even know how to describe it, almost, like, low-res, like, shit is almost, like, bleeding into, like, music sound now, too, because, like, there's a bunch of bands and, like, a bunch of artists that, like, make shit that are, like, literally, like, clipping and just, like, sound, like, on, like, a real level sound bad, but, like, it's sick because it sounds bad. I feel like it's kind of, like, the same thing where it's just, like...
Adds an element.
Everything's been so, like, crystal clear, like, high res for so long. I feel like everybody's kind of, like, what if we made it, like, shit? It might be kind of cool.
Yeah, I'm not really...
I love, like...
here for that.
I feel you. I like some of it, but I don't like all of it, like... Yeah.
There's some bands that, like, I feel like the thing is, like, a lot of, I feel like a lot of, like, the old school bands, like, metal bands, like...
Metallica is one.
And shit like that, like, their records sounded sick, and now you hear them, like, all polished, and it's like,
definitely weird.
See, I think that I'm a little different. Their earlier shit, like, way early 80s, like, you know, late 80s, early 90s stuff, sounds to me, and again, I'll probably catch... hella shit for this, but it sounds like it was recorded in a trash can. It's very like flat.
Some of it definitely is,
you know,
sure,
and for me, I like a more full sound, so you know, if they were like to re-record or remaster all that shit, that'd be kind of cool too. But again, it probably loses some of the metallic sound of that. So
talking, Brockhampton, Bareface, the one singer in the band, he has this thing on Bandcamp. It's like a shoegaze record. It's called No Wi-Fi, and it, like, it sounds like they just recorded it on their laptop and, like, in a room. But the songs are so sick. With the production,
they're really cool.
Just, like, DIY.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I want to hear, like, a full record of that stuff. Like,
it's funny that you brought up Brockhampton because I was going to, like, when I was saying the thing about the low-res stuff, I was thinking about this group called Hunter Gex. You ever heard of them?
Not them. I'm familiar with Brockhampton.
Yeah, they like they just went on tour with Brockhampton, and like their whole like sound is kind of like how like old and distorted kind of can we make it, but they're using like modern instruments. Mm-hmm. So it's like the 808s and all the synths and the vocals are all just, like, fucking peaking, but, like, it sounds sick as hell. Like, it almost sounds, like, hard because of how, like, fucked it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, in hip-hop currently, distorted 808s and fucking blown-out 808s are, like, the thing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, I remember when that first kicked off, I was not a fan, but, I mean, you hear so much of it, it just becomes, like, a thing, and, like, it doesn't bother me anymore.
Yeah, I feel you.
Like, one of my favorite artists right now is Black Marble. I don't know if you ever heard of him.
No clue.
But his shit's all, like, it's not, like, the craziest production, but it's, like, synth, dream pop type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That's, like, all I listen to when I'm at home.
Beats are getting simpler, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But
it was, like, that kind of production and shit, too, that, like, almost got me into listening to hip-hop. Because, like, I didn't like it when I was younger, like, at all. And then, like, when the beats started getting, like, more fucked up and just, like, raw sounding, I thought it was really cool. Like, have you ever heard that Kanye West album, Yeezus?
Mm-hmm.
Like, those beats are, like, just so insanely distorted and fucked up. Well, and that was, like, one of the first things that made me, like, go, oh, I like this. You know what I mean? So.
I mean, I was... Go ahead.
I just remember being a kid, like, before I liked rap music because I didn't know any better at the time.
Yeah.
I had that the AIM.
Before I liked rap music because I didn't know any better?
I didn't. I just listened to rock because my dad was like, listen to this. And I was like, cool. And then I remember having the AIM icon as the dude smashing his, like...
his guitar.
His jukebox thing. And says, rap sucks.
Fucking
I love
AIM.
It now.
Yeah. That's hilarious.
Yeah.
No, that's crazy. Do you guys listen to a lot of other music outside of, like, heavier stuff? Because, I mean, obviously you can't just keep that in the repertoire.
It's very rare that I listen to heavy music when I'm chilling. Like,
how often do you listen to it, like, heavy music?
I listen to, like, my friends' bands, like, Year of the Knife or, like, Jesus Peace or stuff like that, like, or Knocked Loose. But usually, like, my favorite band's Oasis, so.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, I get you. Okay.
I get you. I still listen to, like, a good amount of heavy music, but, like, a lot of it for me is, like, I record and produce bands, so, like, I like to try and take in, like, as much of it as I can without losing my mind, just so I can kind of, like, keep up with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I find myself with heavy music now, like, when I was younger, I'll just, like, repeat the same albums all the time, where now, like, I'll just, like, throw on, like, a bunch of different shit in a row and just, like, listen to all the new stuff, and then, like, usually find, like, one or two things that I will go back to, like, a lot. But I find myself listening to a lot more, like, chill music and, like, hip-hop stuff now.
I get that.
Yeah.
Me and the Chilled Cow YouTube channel have a on-and-off-again relationship. I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I don't think I am.
YouTube. Mm-hmm. They have, like, it's 24/7 lo-fi hip-hop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sick.
So it's that channel. But I'll go, like, anytime that I'm... I remember, like, as a kid, like... If my dad and all them were, like, cleaning the house or some shit, they'd put on, like, the jazz station. And it'd just be, like, your ambient music in the background.
Yeah.
The Chilled Cow is my ambient
chilled
music.
Chilled Beats
Study too. Yeah. It's basically that. Exactly. It's the other channel of that. Yeah.
You're walking in your homie's crib and they got that shit busted and you're like,
fucking just smoking blunts, you know, fucking.
I had a joke when I was working at Cold Cuts, like, the merch company we print at, and if I would walk in, and we had this joke going where, like, these two dudes I work with, they were listening to the Smiths. I'd be like, who broke your heart last?
Yeah. Well, because really,
I see you texting paragraphs over there. What? Yeah.
he's in his feels with the fucking, with the fucking music and shit. Yeah. It's crazy how it makes you feel, though, a certain way, you know?
100%.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't listen. I mean, recently I've been listening to more heavier music on repeat just from this whole situation that I'm involved in with Lambcoat.
Yeah.
But before that, it was, I stepped away for years.
Like,
a good 5-8 years of not listening to, like, any kind of hardcore metal other than the bands that I'd already, you know, established that I fucking will listen to forever.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. Every Time I Die, Poison the Well and shit. So, but it's been cool working here at, that I've been exposed to a lot more different shit. And, like, with Orthodox, they were one of the, I used to be in, like, a big new metal kid when I was, like, in middle school and early high school before I found, like, the scene, you know? And, I really like the resurgence of, like, the new metal mixed with the metalcore. So it's like the new metalcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm here for that.
Yeah. I feel like, in a way, like, the new wave of bands that are, I feel like I've been coming up over the past, like, 3 to 4 years are kind of, like, it's either a way more refined and, like, better sound of, like, the scene phase shit, like the fucking, like, Attack, like, yeah, that kind of stuff. Like, just
Crabcore.
Yeah, exactly. Like, way more refined versions of that. Or it's kind of, like, the even older stuff before that, like, the heavier style scene shit that's, like, both kind of, like, coming back and just being made into better forms. Like, I feel like most of the bands I hear coming up now are, like, one of those two things just, like, done way better. Even, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Yeah, even, like, the... when the door opened again for bands like Varials to get back into the mainstream was like crazy. And honestly, the band that I think is responsible for that is Kublai Khan.
Yeah.
Because I listened to them when I was in high school, yeah, and then they got signed, and like people were like, oh, this is really heavy. And like they opened the door, then came like Knock Loose, Us.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't even in Varials like when they like were first started and were like listening to shit like that and like making music like that, but like, for me, honestly, as, like, corny as it sounds, it kind of, like, was Varials that, like, kind of made me get into that whole style. Like, I didn't really like Kublai Khan or, like, any of that mm-hmm. stuff when it first came out. And then, like, seeing them, like, play locally all the time before I was in the band and, like, hanging out with them, I was like, oh, this shit does fucking slap. Like, this shit's sick as fuck, so.
Yeah. Well, plus, sometimes it takes multiple listens to actually get into something that you're so not used to, you know?
Yeah, no, 100%. And now I love all of it. Like, I think it's some of the best, like, heavy stuff out there. It's, like, a lot of the bands that we tour with, so I really enjoy
and
that.
Again, I think just heavy music in general in the last handful of years is making a big resurgence,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 100%.
Because for a while there, it was, like...
it definitely hit a lull for, like, a few years. Yeah. I feel like 2013 to, like, up until, like, 2 or 3 years ago, everything was just kind of in this weird...
EDM, fucking... bro.
Yeah, you're not wrong. You're not wrong at all.
I mean, I got... I was attracted to early dubstep around like 2011, mm-hmm, like
same
or brostep, whatever you want to call it, the American version.
Yeah, like when it first came out when I was a kid,
dude, everybody was on it. We were like fucking dope.
But I think I got attracted to it because I grew up on the first music I found and sought out myself was rap.
Yeah.
So outside of my parents, it was rap. But then I spent a lot of time in, you know, the scene, hardcore metal scene, breakdowns and shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So to me, when dubstep popped out, or like, it was like, oh, this is like rap, but with breakdowns, you know? So,
yeah, there's definitely a lot of like crossover similarities to it. Like I can definitely, I know a lot of my friends too, like came in the same way. Like they just like always listened to rap when we were kids. And then me and my friends started like exposing them to it, and they were like, yo, we like this. Like this shit's sick. So
I feel like I've been wanting to get into like house music more for some reason.
You.
When I hear that, like, I just love that sound.
Yeah.
Hit me up. I'll send you all this stuff. That's my main electronic music. I mean, I make house music too. So,
oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Just gotta check our day sheet real quick. I forget.
No problem, man. We're getting close anyway. So I'm just going to run. Cause again, man, these podcasts are going fucking quick. Like, I feel like we just sat down and it's fucking 40-something minutes into it.
Jesus.
Yeah, right? I know you keep looking over here. I can't see the timestamp.
I'm not even looking at the time. I'm just, like, being a nerd and, like, watching and being like, is it clipping? Please don't tell me it's clipping.
Oh, no. Yeah, we're good.
No, we're Gucci.
So, I'm gonna run some of these Instagram questions we posted on Instagram. Like, hey, do you have something funny to say or want to talk some shit?
Yeah, let's do it. I'm excited.
I'm going to let you know I haven't looked at it.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I mean, before you guys go on, for sure, but we got to be there before you.
Oh, I know. I'm just
we're here now.
Dealer's on at 7:15.
Yeah, we don't want to miss that for some reason. No. Not for some reason. We just don't want to miss it. Yeah. Anyway, this is the first comment. It might not even be a question. Actually, it's probably not. It's not a question. Squidbillies for life. Oh, some of bitch truck, boat truck.
It's my turn with the sex box.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what that is?
I'm almost positive that's Squidbillies.
100%, yeah. I would assume. Oh, okay. Is that Matthew guy going to be the permanent singer because he rips?
He does rip.
And we don't know. We don't know.
It's great singer.
Yeah.
So is it? That's basically like up in the air. You haven't started searching for a permanent. Yeah. Okay.
I think we would love to have him.
Basically, just
but
saving our asses. Right
yeah,
now,
yeah, exactly.
I mean,
so shout out.
I know Boundaries is his baby. So like, you know, he's got to do him. You know what I mean?
Maybe I'll. You know, maybe you can just like constantly do tours with each other.
That'd be sick. Because I love all of them. Literally, they're
just
great.
Blow
guys.
His voice out, just halftime faster. You know, twice
as
fast.
Oh my god.
Do you guys dig thrash?
Like
I'm assuming
thrash
metal or something like that. Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, there's some stuff from it that I like. If somebody told me one time that if you took like our original album Pain Again and like boosted it up like a couple keys, it sounds like thrash metal.
Oh,
what?
Like if you put Pain Again in like E standard and like play the riffs, it literally sounds like thrash. Huh. It's funny.
Nice.
My friend pitch shifted it up for me one time, and I was like, E-standard, sounds like Anthrax.
You can record it in a trash can, and it'll sound just like Metallica. what happened to your singer, question mark?
We already went over it.
Yeah, if you're this deep into it and don't know.
Yeah. Stop skipping.
Yeah, right. There's no timestamps.
Stop
know what's
pressing
going
that
on.
15 second ahead button. I know what you're doing.
Who would you say your main influences are as a band?
As a whole or individually? As
I mean,
a band?
Let's do the band first, and then we'll just grab a couple of your personal ones.
I feel like we all really fuck with Under Oath.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? Yeah. Interesting.
Oh, yeah, as a drummer, Aaron Gillespie. All
day. Yeah.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
I feel like Under Oath, Kublai Khan's another good example. We all really like Kublai Khan.
I know me and Mitch love Slipknot.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah.
I don't think you can be in... I honestly don't think you can be in the hardcore metal scene and...
Yeah, like...
It's
at least,
weird if you don't like Slipknot.
Yeah. I mean, well, I'll say that we saw them recently, last year at Louder Than Life when we were covering it.
Mm-hmm.
The new version of it I'm not really a big fan of, but yeah. I grew up listening to fucking self-titled in Iowa and shit. So they always will have a place for me, but
I feel you. I only saw them one time when they were torn off All Hope Is Gone, and it was like
that's
insane.
Sick.
Yeah, I was like in eighth grade, and it just
Joey
fucking blew my mind.
Yeah. I saw them in 2001. That was the first time
God.
I saw them. Yeah, and that was fucking right after Iowa.
I wish.
My cousin
I
saw them
wish.
At like Ozfest or something.
That's where
kid.
I saw them. Yeah,
dude.
Like, it was right with Linkin Park, Crazy Town, Disturbed.
Crazy
Let's
Town.
Go, yeah. Crazy Town, baby.
Yeah, Crazy
My
Town.
Butterfly Sugar.
They were, they were on the main stage.
Dude,
if
I
you can believe it or not.
Crazy. That Butterfly song is.
I'm
Let me ask you
a
question.
Popping for a minute.
Let me ask you a question because you're probably going to get shit
Dude,
for that.
I love 90s music.
Oh, yeah. I grew up in. I mean,
Man.
I'm probably 10 years older than you.
Yeah,
so.
You
no, I am.
You definitely
You
are.
Said your age, so I know. But, and again, because I was a new metal kid or whatever, I fucking got into Crazy Town. I mean, the Butterfly song attracted me to them.
Yeah.
But then, like, I started listening to their other shit, and I like the rap rock crap, because Limp Bizkit is from here, and I grew up with that, so.
I still listen to Limp Bizkit. Fuck it, that shit rips.
Yeah. We already had, man, you have to watch the last podcast where I talked about it. But, definitely I'm a big Limp Bizkit fan. I just posted a picture on the fucking Lambda message board of me singing fucking My Way with Fred on the goddamn... stage.
Oh.
No.
You were on stage with them?
Yeah, they pulled me up out of
Yo.
The crowd.
What?
That's 100%. So sick.
I'll show you the picture when we get out of here. But
I saw Limp Bizkit in Russia one time, and it was
what?
One of the
That's
best.
That's fucking more sick than
it
Russia.
Was one of the best experiences of my life. Literally, I was just like, it was one of the only times I ever saw a band where I was like in awe of how crazy it was. I was just like, what?
What was the band we saw at TLA? What was that? Architects.
Oh yeah, Architects. That,
dude, that
shit was
crazy.
Insane.
Me and Mitch were like,
yeah,
this is like. Inside the TLA.
It's like some stadium rock shit,
yeah,
straight
like,
out. I mean, it is. They play stadiums
too,
in fucking UK.
Like, I mean, no one wants to say Limp is a big band, but Limp, outside of America,
dude,
is a
they
huge
still
band.
Crush. It was like a sold out, like 10,000 cap, like small, like arena type thing that we saw them.
And it's not like they haven't played there like a couple years.
Oh,
they
yeah,
seem
no.
to tour the,
yeah.
They seem to tour the.
They
world
hit Europe
time.
And shit way more than they hit over here, because like when they come here, it's just not as cool as it is over there.
Oh,
so
okay.
Why would you?
So
if I was
big.
In the same place, I'd be like, let's go back to fucking Russia.
They
like,
got money out there. They're paying money out
yeah,
there.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fred Durst got to buy this classic car somehow, man.
Have you seen your boy lately with the beard?
Dude.
I actually did look at his.
You seen the Instagram filter?
Yeah.
You can make your face Fred
Durst. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Fucking incredible.
You don't think I did that?
Of course.
Yeah. I got pulled out on stage and fucking, I was like 17.
That's so fucking sick.
And at the time, they were like the band for me too. So it was like fucking.
Yeah, you were starstruck.
Dream come true,
pants
baby.
Kind of shit. Yeah. Well, keep it rolling. Who was doing the vocals for you guys at Furnace Fest?
I think Matt actually is. Unless we get somebody else, like.
Isn't Brendan
going to
be there?
Yeah, Brendan is going to be there. That would be funny. But yeah, like unless we do get. Somebody else that's like 100% permanent by then, I think it will be Matt, because we talked to him about doing that and like a few other things, like possibly if we don't find somebody else. So it might be him, or it might be a new guy, or it might be Brendan. I don't know.
How is it like gonna, are you excited for Furnace Fest? Cause I don't
know
if you guys were old enough to really remember like when it was
Yeah,
yeah,
I looked it up on YouTube.
Yeah, same. So did I. Yeah. Because, like, everybody told us it was, like, a big deal.
For sure. Bro, yeah. I fucking was of age when those things were going on, so.
Yeah, it was, like, we kind of got lucky, too, because, like, do you guys know Mike Zemer?
Yes.
Like, he's, like, not doing that So What Fest because he's, like, one of four guys that are running the Furnace Fest this year. And we have a really good relationship with him. So, like,
yeah,
he hit us up, like, early on about it when they were forming it. We were like, yeah, it'd be
when
sick.
Was the last Furnace Fest?
2004.
Yeah, I was going to say 2004, I think.
Yeah. I mean, that was the last time.
yeah, I was in fourth grade.
That was, it might have been 2003.
I was in third grade.
Yeah, yeah. You weren't up to date on all this shit then?
No. Man, I don't even know. That's probably when I had that Icon rap sucks on fucking A. I didn't know shit.
No, yeah. Yeah, Mike, yeah, we kind of go back and forth. Him and JP and I. But yeah, he was part of, you guys were part of like the new music added to the fest. Cause it's a lot of like, you Counterpoints, Knock Loose and all that are some of the new.
You know what's so funny is there's this band playing called the Juliana Theory.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, there's this band called that song on Top of the World. It's at the end of that fucking Disney Channel original movie Motocross, where like his sister's like the dirt bike racer.
Bro, I have no
but
idea.
But anyway, so me and my sisters loved that song because we found it on that movie when we were kids, and then I saw they were playing, and I texted my sister. I was like, "Yo, I'm playing with the fucking Juliana Theory."
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I'm not a fan of theirs at all. I think I saw them a couple times when I was like a kid, and I was like, I'm not feeling it. I wasn't watching the Disney Channel or nothing like that. I was of age at this point. You know, I was like a teenager. So
Yeah.
It probably hit you a little differently.
Yeah, it probably did.
And I never even had Disney Channel until I was like in middle school, so I missed out on that whole wave.
So when it was like free for everybody, you mean?
No, like I didn't. I just like didn't have cable TV really when I was like a really young kid.
I don't
think
Mitch has ever seen Brink.
Yeah, I've never seen like any.
I've never seen Brink.
I've never seen like any Disney Channel.
I used to rollerblade. I never saw it. And it came out when I was rollerblading.
Team Puffin Suds, man.
I mean, I think.
Saw Grind, though.
I think I saw Grind.
The best movie literally ever fucking made.
You rollerblade? You skate like that?
I don't rollerblade, but I skateboard. Grind's a skateboard movie, though.
I'm trying to bring it back.
Sweet Lou.
Yeah, Sweet Lou, baby.
This is another question about fucking Travis. We'll move on. And the last one is about Matt. What A is you get a permanent vocalist thing, so we'll just skip that too altogether. Mm. That's it. Yeah, damn, fucking 50-something minutes into it, so we'll just wrap it up so we can head to the venue.
Yeah. I catch Dealer.
Yeah.
Beeler.
Well, do you guys have anything that you would like to leave the fans of Aerials with? Any little nuggets of, like, hope and inspiration and or who to check out, like bands that are up and coming?
Yeah, the movie Tron.
Yeah, no.
Which one? Because, like, you know, I can kind of think that he's going to say, like, the new one with Daft Punk.
It's an inside joke with our band.
Yeah, it's like every time anyone says, like, oh, what's that band that we always listen to? It's like, oh, you're thinking of Tron, man. It's like, it's just a bad joke.
You're thinking of Tron.
But, yeah, I would definitely say maybe. Honestly, I would definitely say that we're trying to try and put something out this year. So, like, look forward to that.
We're not breaking up unless you want us. No, we're just playing.
Nah. Check out. Go listen to Loathe.
Yep.
I'll leave you on that.
God, we're good.
Great band.
Both of these podcasts are similar.
Approved by Chino.
Dude, yeah.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. He, like, tweeted the music video for their song Two Way Mirror, and, like,
They definitely remind me. They're like the deathcore Deftones.
Literally, yeah.
It's a sexy-ass record, that's for sure. But Deftones are sexy, too. Damn, I was going to fucking ask you one question, but now I'm blanking out because we're wrapping it up. Give me 4 seconds before I cut it. Yeah, that's it. We're just going to wrap it up. I have no fucking clue what I was going to say. All right, yeah, well, check out Burials, obviously, if you haven't already. I'm sure you have if you're Googling them on YouTube or something like that. But, yeah, thanks for coming on. That's dope you guys are here. Oh, no. You're friends with, like, all the bands that hate us. So so definitely, like, you know, pass the word on that we're not horrible to be on the podcast.
I like you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. I
can't speak for the rest.
I get it. But, yeah, because, like, you're naming bands off that you're friends of, and I'm like, don't like us. I know Year of the Knife is not a big fan, I don't think.
We were in the van yesterday, and I actually didn't know... But it was by my own ignorance that we were doing a Lamgo thing today. And, like, I looked at the email because Mike's, like, forwarded it to me. But it's, like, advance for it, and I was like, oh, Mike, it's Lamb Goat. And he looked me like dead in the eyes, like face turned away. He's like, you're still going to do it, right? You're still going to do it. And I was like, no, yeah, I'm doing it. I don't care. But like, it was just like, I could see the look of horror in his face, like, bro, don't bail on this now. Like,
yeah, don't worry. You wouldn't be the first people to do it. Yeah, there's a lot. No, I mean, we've dealt with.
We'll do anything.
Yeah, we've dealt with that a couple of times. But I mean,
we're just dickheads on Twitter, literally. We just love to be assholes on Twitter.
Isn't that what Twitter's for?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay. I didn't know the rules or anything like that. But yeah, no, we definitely have clashed with a couple of bands. But it's all good. Alex was surprised, like I said, that you guys were going to come on.
Yeah.
So that was cool.
I'm not surprised that he was surprised, but yes. Here we are.
But here we are. Hatchet is buried. So, Bri, whenever you want to come on, you're fucking invited.
Oh, my God.
See, that sucks. That sucks when I'm, like, a fan of, like, those bands, like, Jesus Piece, Year of the Knife, and not Loose. I'm a fan of all those. Yeah. But, like, it'd be fucking hard-pressed to get most of those bands on here, I think, just because of the previous.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I feel like this was really sick. So, like, I feel like after people, you know, hear a couple of these, maybe some, like, opinions will change because I had a really good time.
Hey, man. I'm only hoping.
Yeah.
And then we can get Fred Durst on Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think a goal of mine is to get Fred, Frankie, and Franz on the same fucking podcast.
Oh, my fucking God.
Jeez.
I'm putting that out in the universe right now.
Yeah.
Speaking it into existence, as they say.
I mean, Fred for personal reasons, but having Frankie and fucking Franz on would be dope, too. Yeah.
The three Fs. Yeah. Spam F in the chat.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to start working on that. I give myself a little, like, a year to work that out.
Tell Franz to bring his cat.
Yeah, yeah. Tell Franz. What's the fucking thing's name?
I don't know. I wasn't
fucking
there.
Chad or something?
Didn't he have, like, a Mr. Biggles
Carl,
kind of cat?
It's Carl.
All I heard
is
that the cat opened.
It opens doors. The cat's, like, a fucking human.
Somebody woke up and it was eating some
candy. Yeah, I woke up in the middle of the night and it was eating fucking Peanuts Beaver Nuggets from Buffy's.
Oh, yeah. You guys just fucking stayed there.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
They all did. I was with my friend Dom.
Yeah.
You didn't stay at the 8-room house?
I didn't.
It was a good time.
I bet they did some OnlyFans shit.
No. I mean, maybe he did, but I wasn't there.
Sorry, dudes. I got to go do a solo show. Yeah. I will see you in 30 minutes. All right.
I got to go make
$1 billion
real quick.
I hope Franz is here tonight. On that note, we'll cut it
here.
Let's
do it.
So, yeah, thanks for coming on. Check out Varials, obviously. Fucking download, stream, buy their album In Darkness, right?
Yes, sir.
And, yeah, so check it out, and thanks for coming on, guys.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us. That was great.
Hey, this is Steve Choi, host of the Musicians Guild podcast, part of the Sound Talent Media podcast network. Within the four walls of the Musicians Guild, we'll be discussing the habits, idiosyncrasies, experiences, and general psychology of my friends and peers all involved with music in various capacities. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.